Adults, we are going to be back in Acts chapter 4. So if you've got your Bible, go to Acts 4. And we're going to pick right where Gary left off last week in Acts 4, verse 5. And it's kind of fitting going into what we're talking about today that the VBS theme was called. What we learned about is how we can impact the world around us for God. We said that what you do today can change the world around you. That's what we talked about all 3 days of VBS this week. And so as we get into Acts 4, we need to remember Acts 1:8, like Gary led off the series. We need to remember Acts 1:8, and it says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all of Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So really hold on to that in your brain today. Kind of like you can mark it if you want to as we read all 32 verses of Acts 4 today. Hold on to Acts 1:8 in your brain because we're going to call it back up. Remember that. I want you to hear this quote that we heard while we were at SOU. Brent Crow says this about Acts 1:8. He said, "Jesus was letting his followers know that they were going to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth, but they were going to start in the most difficult place possible. They were going to start where they could have been persecuted." They were persecuted. They're going to start where it was going to cost them their lives, where they could have been the most ridiculed. He didn't say, "Hey, we're going to start over here in the most easiest place. We're going to work you in." No, we're going to give you the Holy Spirit, and then you're going to go to the most difficult place in the world, and you're going to spread the gospel. And what he was getting at is leaders do difficult things. You start your day with difficult tasks. And that's what Jesus' disciples here. You're going to go to Jerusalem, and that's where the church is going to start. That's where the gospel is going to start. And so hold on to that as we get into Acts 4. So we pick up, Peter and John have been arrested after performing a miracle. They just healed the lame beggar. But that's not what they really get arrested for. They get arrested for proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus. They get arrested because they're preaching that Jesus died and resurrected. And so is the Sadducees have kind of moved into power of the religious leaders. The Pharisees have kind of faded to the back a little bit, and the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection, so they're really guiding the charge here to persecute the church. And so they're arresting Peter and John after this miracle because of preaching on the resurrection. And they think that they can snuff out this message, right? What we're going to read is kind of funny because 5,000 people just came to Christ. 5,000 people just surrendered their life to Jesus. And that doesn't really count the kids and women. That's just really counting the men. So more than 5,000 people came to Christ. And so we're going to pick up the story the very next day. Peter and John have just got arrested. And this is what happens. So we're going to read verses 5 through 37. So hang in there. Follow along. We can all do this together, okay? "On their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, 'By what power or by what name did you do this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.' Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, 'What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in his name.' So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot speak of what we have seen and heard. And when they further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom the sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported that what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against his anointed. For truly in this city, there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your Jesus.' And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with us. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and one soul, and one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were given their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any need. Thus, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means a Levite of Cyprus, sold a field to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Let's pray. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for what you're doing in our church. And God, we pray that as we seek your heart today, as we seek what you have for us as a church, as a community, as individual believers, God, we pray that we are encouraged to preach the gospel. God, let us remember that you sometimes call us through difficult things. So God, we pray for boldness this morning as we read your word, as we learn about Peter and John in the early church. God, we give you this time. Amen. So what we see here is, we're going to go back to starting in verse 8, and we see that Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit, meaning that he's encouraged, like he gets a boldness as he's standing there. And I think what really happened is Peter is a think first. Any of you in here think first? Don't raise your hand because your wife will agree with you. But Peter was a shoot and aim second type person, like cut off ears, you know, crazy things like that. So Peter was this reactory guy. And what we see here is Peter is like the first one to speak up because then is being challenged here. And Peter stands up and he looks at the rulers and, you know, yeah, but. And so as we read that, I want you to think of this. When the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, it filled all those who believe in the name of Jesus. And that same Holy Spirit is with you now. The same Holy Spirit that guided Peter is within all of us in this room right now. The same Spirit has boldened us. Imagine, if you will, standing there having your life threatened about the one thing that you have been called to do, the one thing that you have this burden to do, and you stand up and you do it to the faces of the very people who could kill you. The boldness that it took from Peter and John to do that. But don't miss verse 11 here. Don't miss what Peter says in verse 11. "This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone." He says, you rejected Jesus. He looks at the people who are accusing them and said, you rejected Jesus. You rejected his salvation. You rejected everything he brought to us. You rejected everything he stood for. And see, when we deal with sin in our lives, or we deal with sin in the lives of people, the truth of the gospel is the only way back from that. The truth of the gospel is the only way to lead people to Jesus. The truth of the gospel is the only way to set people free from sin. And so, yeah, we messed up, but there's only one salvation, and they rejected that. And as much as this was a statement to the religious leaders, Peter is privy to the fact that people are around him who don't know Jesus, and they are within hearing distance, and he is proclaiming the gospel to these leaders, but he's also proclaiming the gospel to the crowd that is listening. Because Peter knew until his dying breath that he would proclaim the gospel no matter what, and that's what he is doing here. He is telling them, repent and believe in Jesus. Your works can't save you. Those yearly sacrifices, they can't save you. Only Jesus can do that. And so they proclaim the gospel in the Sanhedrin. Religious leaders who have this agenda don't know what to do, right? How? What? Haven't listened to anything we've told them, aren't listening to us now, even though we're threatening them. But they knew that 4 hours ago, thousands of people accepted this message of repentance. And in Acts 4, 15 through 18, it says, but when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in his name. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Like, read the room, guys. Read the room. You're not getting through to anybody in here because the power of the Holy Spirit has gone before them and prepared the hearts, and they have a boldness that only the Holy Spirit can present. Like, read the room. They are making empty threats, kind of like what I make on a nightly basis in my house. I'm going to look over here. Empty threats. You do this. And it doesn't get them anywhere. Just like it doesn't get me anywhere. They mean nothing. Just like the girls know that my threats mean nothing because I'm... Right? They threats mean nothing because they see what God is doing in the lives of the people that are preaching the gospel and the lives that are changed. Then in 19 through 22, John stand up and they say this, but Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, once again, empty threats, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom the sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. They make threats. They don't know how to punish them, so they just let them go. And see, the threats of the world not outweigh the burden of sharing the gospel for Peter and John. The burden of sharing the gospel is bigger than your political party. The burden of sharing the gospel is bigger than anything we like to put before it. The burden of sharing the gospel, and what I mean by burden is the need, the desire, the passion that we have for sharing the gospel is bigger than anything that we have thought of for White Plains. Because at the root of everything we do, the gospel should be the center of that. Presenting the gospel to people should be at the root of everything we do, whether it's leading songs, whether it's going to another church and leading worship like our youth band did last night, whether it's feeding popsicles to a band, whether it's feeding a meal to a sports team, whether it's going up on First Fridays and just loving on the community, the heart of everything we should do, everything we do should be the gospel. And so what burdens you? What is your passion? What burdens you? What are you called to do? At the heart of that should be the burden to share the gospel. And so they're released after being threatened, finger wagging by the big bad religious leaders. And what do? They head back to their community, right? They head back to the one place where they have fellowship, they have community, they have guidance, they have like-minded people, like-hearted people. They head back to their community. So we're not going to read all this. I know I had y'all type it in, but we're not going to read all 23 through 32. But what happens here is incredible. They get together and they give an account of what happened, what was said to them. But what happens there? They don't just stir up and go, well, we should like pitchforks and go, you know, burn down the temple. Let's go burn the Sanhedrin. They don't post something on Facebook or tweet something. They don't hate them on social media. They don't cancel culture on them. Because the burden of the gospel is bigger than anything they want. Anything that their heart would call up, anything that they would desire. No, they sit there and they pray for boldness to preach the gospel to those people because they realize that those people are a broken people and they need to come to Christ. Otherwise, they will have complete separation from God. And so their prayer isn't, God, move me, change our mission field. God, can we just skip over Jerusalem part and move to the ends of the world? No, their prayer is, God, give us a boldness to preach the gospel to those people. Let us not be scared about the mission field you put us in, but let us have boldness to fulfill the mission that you've called us to. They're realizing and remembering the persecution that Jesus went through. And then they also remember John 15, which says this in verses 18. Through 21, if the world hates you, now that it has hated me before it hated, knows now, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than its master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also put all these things they will do to you on account of my name because they do not know him who sent me. See this though, they went back to where, right? They knew that Jesus was calling, but they went back to where? Their community of believers. They didn't run and hide. They went back to the community of believers and they shared because they know you cannot handle this situation you may be on your own without the guidance of the power of God. And when we look at what we're going through, a lot of times when we come up against hard parts of our lives, we forget about the community that God has placed us in. And we forget about transparency and sharing things and praying for one another and asking for guidance from God. We forget about what God has placed us in right here. First thing Peter and John do, they could have just left, right? They could have just said, nah, we're gone. We're going to go somewhere else. But they went back to their people that they were over, and they were leading them, and they prayed together, and they asked for that boldness because they knew that they couldn't do it on their own. They needed their community, and they needed the guidance of the power of God. That's why this community right here is so important, because as you begin to step out and proclaim the gospel to people who don't know Jesus, you're circle outside of church may get a little smaller. People may call you crazy. Your circle outside may get smaller, but your circle inside church can get stronger and more committed to one another. See, they knew that the sole purpose as a Christian is to proclaim the gospel no matter what. And they knew that the only way to fulfill that is to love God, love each other, and then love the community. Without loving God, without loving one another, we can't fulfill loving the community. See, we were created by God for God. We were created to praise Him, to tell people about Him. And nothing else matters. See, the gospel has to be at the center of everything we do, everything we say. The gospel must be the focal point of our lives. The gospel must be on every word that comes from our mouths, every action that comes from our body. The gospel must be center of that. They were devoted to changing the hearts of those that they were interacting with. They were devoted to changing the lives of those they interacted with, but not because of what they said, but because of what God could do. They remembered what Jesus told them. They remembered the call that Jesus put on their lives. And see, Peter, you know, he struggled with that. At first, he began to run from that. And what that got him, how far running got him, what happened to his life when he would not fully commit to Jesus. Peter remembered all those things. And right here, Peter stands up in the boldness of Christ and says, no more. See, he has seen the fruit of what God can do on the day of Pentecost, and he is living in that because he remembers the history. It's fitting that we're going to have church history night tonight, and we're going to remember what God has done as we prepare for what God is doing and where God is taking us. And it gives us a boldness to say, God's done it before, God will do it again. God hasn't finished with us yet. If you still have breath, you're still able to walk and talk, you can still proclaim the gospel. God's not done with you yet. They remember that the message is to turn to Christ for salvation. Turn to Christ for salvation, because salvation can't be found anywhere else. Salvation can't be found in your works. Salvation can't be found in anything you give. Salvation is only found in Christ. They're back to right standing with God, and that is Jesus. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. In who? Christ Jesus, our Lord. So as we close tonight, as we close today and we get time of worship and we have a time of prayer, as a church, we know that Sunday morning gatherings are for the edification of the saints, to equip and encourage one another, to worship God, to lift up God, to pray for boldness, to make Sunday 11 till Sunday, next Sunday at 9, the best week where we can proclaim the gospel, praying with each other, for each other, equipping us to go out and tell people about Jesus. And so today, let that be our prayer as we gather today, that we encourage one another, that we seek God together today. See, there's like 75 messages you can preach, but what I have felt in this is praying for boldness. Because it's easy to come together and say, we're going to go proclaim the gospel, and then when we step out, it's harder to do. It's easy to have a great summer like we have and then get out of that Christian bubble and not be able to do it because there's peer pressure and people are looking at me weird. It's easy to come on a Sunday and worship and go to VBS on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night and sing and dance. And then during the day, it's harder to proclaim the gospel because I'm not around like-minded people. So we need to pray for that boldness of the Holy Spirit's guidance to encourage us to do that. We need to pray. Verse 32, now the full number of those who believed were of heart and soul. Is the heart of White Plains, is your heart to share the gospel with those who are far from Christ? So as the band comes back and we close, let us come together and pray for that. And if you're here today and you have not stepped into a life of surrendering to Jesus, let me encourage you to do that today, because there is only one way back from where you've gone. There's only one way towards God, and that's through Jesus. Let's gather today and seek God. Set our minds on sharing the gospel, because nothing else matters but that. And if you're struggling, I want to encourage you to find Gary or myself, Mr. Pastor or Mr. Pastor Sir, and find one of us and talk to us. We want to pray with you. We want to be that community. Find somebody who is seeking God and ask for their guidance. Ask for them to pray with you. Because the first thing Peter and John did was found their community. Found their community. And so this morning, as we pray, as we close, let's find our community. Let's pray for boldness. And let's go do it. Tell people about Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the message. We thank you for the word. We thank you for Jesus and the path back. God, and we've heard this message for like what seems like a year, God, of preaching the gospel and telling people about Jesus. And God, I pray that at some point we get it and we do it. There's only one way back. So let us proclaim that. If there's somebody here today who hasn't surrendered their life to you, God, we pray that you move in their hearts and that they seek out somebody to talk to and pray with and ask for you to change their life. God, we pray for boldness in our church. We pray for a boldness to share the gospel every day, not just on Sundays. We thank you for Jesus, for that salvation we can find only in him. We praise you. We love you. Amen.